Right, okay, so we're going to press on with our deeper, wider and higher, and this time we're going higher, and I was trying to find a title for today, and I ended up with this, What to Do in Desperate Situations. Okay, on Friday we were in the School of Prayer, as I said earlier, we were talking about battles that sometimes we have, and which we coined spiritual warfare, but in actual fact, by the time we got to the end of our session, we were thinking that whether spiritual warfare was a bit of a wrong word to use. We considered a little bit about the devil and his current strength, which is none. We talked about this. Who is the enemy? We talked a little bit about the devil, the state of the war, the fact that Jesus has come and he has on the cross won the victory for us, the state of the enemy now, in that he's toothless and that he is he has no real power. He just makes people think he has. And also we thought about our place in it all, in our receiving of what God has done. I mean, we use scriptures like this, 1 John 3:8, for this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Okay, do you remember in Revelation it talks about the fact that Jesus was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Yeah. So, right from before creation, Jesus, God, had got redemption and everything in hand. And then when Jesus came to the earth, what was his purpose? To destroy the works of the devil. And then Romans 6:6 says, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be rendered ineffective. In the AV it says destroyed, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Amazing scriptures. Let's have a look at the next one. Inasmuch then, this is Hebrews 2:14, inasmuch then as the children have partakers of flesh and blood, Jesus himself likewise shared the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. So we were thinking along those sorts of lines on Friday about the fact that Jesus has destroyed, rendered completely ineffective. Okay? The devil still wants to swagger around, still wants to whisper in your ear, still wants to tempt you, still wants to try to deceive you. But there's no power in it. You can, in the strength of Jesus, say no. So this morning, what I want to do is think about two particular stories. We'll see how we get on. If we only get as far as one, then we only get as far as one. But I want to think about a story in the Old Testament first, 2 Chronicles 20. It's quite a few verses, and I thought it's worth reading it, okay? So rather than dipping. So I've got the scriptures typed out here so you can see them. And if you want to open your Bible, you can. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. But we're going to read it through a good chunk. So here we go. It happened after this, the people of Moab, with the people of Ammon, and others with them besides the Ammonites, came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are in Hazazon Tamar, which is En-Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared, and set himself to seek the Lord, and proclaim a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord, and from all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem, in the house of the Lord before the new court, and said, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? Do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand there is not power and might that no one is able to withstand you? Are you not our God, who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend, forever? And they dwell in it and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence or famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. And now, here are the people of Ammon, Moab and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and did not destroy them. Here they are, rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you have given to us to inherit. O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that's coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Now all Judah, with their little ones, their wives and their children, stood before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. And he said, listen, all you of Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you. Do not be afraid, nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourself. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshipping the Lord. Then the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korathites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high. So they arose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. So when they began to sing and to praise the Lord, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. So when Judah came to a place overlooking the wilderness, they looked towards the multitude, and there were their dead bodies, fallen on the earth. No one had escaped. A great story. Martin, would you like to turn the thermostat down, please? Next to Marlene. There's a little thing there. Turn it down. So anti-clockwise, turn it down to about 17. All right. That'll help us. Okay, so an amazing story of a desperate situation. Okay. This country about to be displaced. Now, obviously, we don't have that sort of problem, but there are other things that come to you and to me that feel just as bad. I would imagine that sometimes you think, I do not know what to do. Now, there's one particular scripture that I particularly want to pick up on. First of all, is this. There is the last verse on the page there. This is Jehoshaphat praying, and he says this, "For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do." Let's pause there. Now, have you, I'm sure you have, been in situations where you feel like that? This power, I've got no power against what's coming against me. I just don't know what to do. And then look at the last line. "But our eyes are on you." And I think this is a real key. Okay? Because when particularly when temptation comes to you and to me, and we're battling over it, perhaps, some temptation's easy, just oh, forget it, and you walk away from it. Some temptation seems to stick and you can't seem to get free of it. And one of the things the devil loves to do is to get our eyes on what's the temptation. Now, if Jehoshaphat had said, "We don't know what to do, we're just looking at this great multitude," help. No, he had the right idea. Our eyes are upon you. So, yes, we might have things coming at us that seem insurmountable, and we might not know what to do, but here is our first port of call. Our eyes are upon you. Okay, so this is the first thing. Okay. Now, what I need to do is to... I need to go backwards and forwards, don't I? So God said this to the people of Israel. First off, he said, "Do not be afraid." Okay. And then he said this, "It's not your battle." Well, hang on a second, God. I'm here. I've got all these things happening against me. It's not your battle. This is interesting. You do not need to fight. Well, that's good news, because I'm not particularly a very good soldier. I'm not very good at fighting. You see it sometimes, don't you, on movies, where someone who's quite mild-mannered punches someone, and then they go, like, oh, really hurt, because they're not used to it. And I don't know what you think, but when we're in sort of a battle-type situation, and things are coming against us, I've got no power over this. But what does God say? He says to the people of Israel, "Position yourself." Now, put yourself in the place of God's help. Yeah? Don't think, "I've got to do it." You know, so many people run around like headless chickens. "I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do." Number one, our eyes are on you. Two, put yourself in the place where God wants you. Okay? And then he says, "Stand still and see." Oh, but I can't stand still. This is really affecting me. Stand still. You know, at the end of the passage in Ephesians about the armour of God, okay, it talks about putting on all the different things of the armour, and then at the end of it, it says, "And having done all, stand." It doesn't say, "And having done all, fight." It just says, "And having done all, stand." And then the next verse starts with, "Stand, therefore." Yeah? So, position yourself, put yourself under the mighty hand of God. You know the scripture? It says, "Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you." That's the starting point. Put yourself under the mighty hand of God. Stand still and see the salvation of God. Do not fear. God is with you. It's all well and good you saying do not fear. Ah, you haven't got what's going on in my life at the moment. But God says to us, do not fear. Take your eyes off the problem, put them onto Jesus. Because he is with you. Okay? Going back to the... Oop, too far. I'm trying to find it. That's it. So the people, when Jehoshaphat got his army together, ready to go down to where the battle was going to be, what did he do? He put the singers in front. Okay, he put the worshippers first. Okay? Now, that no one told him to do that. This was what Jehoshaphat felt he needed to do, because they were going out triumphantly. They were going out already knowing that God was fighting their battle. And it wasn't their battle. Now, sometimes we know, don't we, that things can be very, very hard. And it's all well and good, Matt, you saying, do this, do that. But sometimes I acknowledge that sometimes things really get on top and we can't see our way through. But this is a good way. This scriptures, this story really helps us to think how to do it. Lord, we start with praying. Lord, I don't know what to do. I feel the things coming against me are too much. But my eyes are on you. I'm going to look up. I'm going to look up. God says, you do not need to fight. This battle is not yours. And you can go out. It says in 2 Corinthians, doesn't it? We quoted the scripture on Friday as well. He always causes us to walk in triumphant procession. That is the word used. Now, I don't want us to think, oh, right, okay, God has given me all authority over everything, and I can cast out demons, I can do this, I can do that. We can't. We have got to live under the hand of God. Yeah? We have got to... I want to try and find it. Hang on. I think it's 1 Peter. Yeah. Actually, it's very interesting. This is the end of 1 Peter. From verse 5 onwards. And he's, first of all, listen to this. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober. Be watchful, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith. But we can't resist him if we don't position ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Okay, there's another scripture, I can't remember where it is, that talks about exactly the same thing, James. James 4, verse 6, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Okay. So Jehoshaphat put the worshippers out the front, and as they were going down, can you imagine, they're coming down from Jerusalem, they're coming down to where the battle should be coming, and the moment the singer starts singing and the worship starts flowing from the people of Israel, they start fighting amongst themselves. And by the time they reach the bottom of the hill, everyone's dead. I mean, you couldn't make this up, could you? It's incredible. It's the work of God. If you open your heart to worship, God will do on your behalf. I don't know what to do, Lord. Oh, I don't know. This thing's coming against me. It's too much. But my eyes on you. I'm going to put myself under your mighty hand. I'm going to worship. Now, it might be really hard to worship to begin with if things are really assailing you. But I tell you, to worship, like we've experienced this morning, together, when we're by ourselves in worship, God can do. Because our eyes and our heart are really focused on Jesus. Okay? And as we focus on him and we worship, what's coming against us, it gets its right place. That very first song we sung, I'm not 100% happy with those words, and in his presence our problems disappear, but I know the sentiment. If we're in that place of his presence and our heart is towards him, then the difficulties we're going through are in their right place. Yeah? Under the mighty hand of God, resist the enemy, he will flee. Let's have a look at the other story. Acts chapter 16. So we're moving over into the New Testament, and this is Paul and Silas. And again, it's worth reading a few verses so that we can get a full context of things. All right, we won't read all 34 verses, but we'll read probably up to 24. Now, when they'd gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they'd come to Mysia, they tried to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." Now after he'd seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Therefore, sailing from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace, and the next day came to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is the foremost city of that part of Macedonia, a colony. And we were staying in that city for some days. And on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city to the riverside, where prayer was customarily made. And we sat down and spoke to the woman who met there, women who met there. Now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, who worshipped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, "If you judge me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." So she persuaded us. Now, it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl, possessed with the spirit of divination, met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune-telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, "These men are servants of the Most High God, who proclaim to us the way of salvation." And she did for many days. But Paul, greatly grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out that very hour. But when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas, dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. And they brought them to the magistrates and said, "These men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city. And they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe." Then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they'd laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep and seeing the doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword when he was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light, ran in, fell down trembling before Paul and Silas, and he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" So they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." Another great narrative. Okay, we go back. Has God ever stopped you from doing something? Okay, has God ever stopped you from going somewhere or doing something? Have you ever felt, no, it's not the right time to do this? And you felt it before the Lord, no, I won't do such and such. I don't feel it's the right thing to do. The Spirit was stopping them. Some people might say, well, the enemy was trying to stop me from going to Asia. He stopped me trying to get to Bithynia. But the Spirit was stopping them. But they didn't sit still. This is an interesting thing I thought when I was reading this. It says in verse 8, so passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. They were still on the go. They were still on the move. They didn't say, well, we can't go there. We'll just sit and wait. No, said, right, I'm going to keep on moving. Keep on moving until God shows me what he wants me to do. And then we get the Macedonian call. Okay? The night vision. It's God's leading. And this is an amazing thing. You've got the Spirit directing them, stopping them from going here, stopping them from going there. And by a vision in a dream, this is the place you've got to go. But who was it for? Okay, well, for starters, it was for Lydia. Okay? She was sitting with the other women praying on a Sabbath day, and Paul came, he spoke, the Lord opened her heart, she received. So all this, don't go there, just go here, was just, to begin with, for Lydia. Sometimes you think, do you ever think back, when I became a Christian, what were the things that God brought into my life to bring me to the point where I became a Christian? Who was praying? My auntie and uncle over in North Morocco, praying for my family. Someone in your family who's a Christian, praying for their relatives. Someone that you have met a few times at work, who's a Christian, praying for their work colleagues. And God brings different people, and who knows all the different things that have gone on, just to get you to the point where you can hear the gospel and your heart is opened. And if we are going to be of that ilk, if we're going to be like that for others, we need to be really close to the Lord, don't we? Yeah, we need to be able to hear the Lord say, don't do that today. Do this today. You think, okay, I'll do that, and you do this same thing, and all of a sudden, God brings someone across your path. You weren't expecting them. I hadn't seen you for ages. And yet, there we are. I was talking to a friend of mine. He lives in northeast China, and he was back in the country, and I went to see him this week. And he said that there were people throughout his life that he spoke to, or didn't even really speak much to, just lived in front of them at work and stuff. And he said on one occasion, he said he'd gone back to his job after a bit, and someone went up to him and said, oh, I've left that job now, but just to let you know, I've become a Christian. He had no idea. But he had some input, but he had no idea how much input. It's so good to follow the leading of God. Yeah? What's God saying? Okay, Lydia got converted and got baptized. And then we get this whole thing of this girl possessed by a spirit. And Paul casts out the spirit, so she's saved. Okay, and then they're in prison. Now you might think, oh no, this really is the pits. In the inner prison, not just in the courtyard, they're in the inner prison and their feet are in the stocks. You know what stocks are, don't you? Or most of you will do. Bits of wood with collars out, you put your feet in, they put the other bit on top, padlock it, you can't move. You're stuck. If you're really lucky, you've got your two hands and your head in other stocks like that, and that's when people throw cabbages at you and things like that, isn't it? Okay? You're immobile. The place that you've got is really putting you down. And it might be that this morning some of you are feeling like you're in the inner prison, that you're in the stocks. You can't move. What's the solution? Paul and Silas, what did they do? They didn't say, oh, that's it, we're through, we're finished, we're just rotting here now for the rest of our days. No. They started praying and singing hymns to God. I once preached this over in Tanzania, this little section. And afterwards, a lady came up to me and she said, my husband has made my life a misery and has made my life like a prison, and I was ready to leave him. But what you said this morning tells me that I've got to go home and I've got to praise God and worship God and see an earthquake happen in my house. What did Jehoshaphat? Our eyes are on you. Position yourself. Stand still and see. Worship. Here's Paul and Silas in the middle of the prison, praying and singing, letting their hearts rise to God. Lord. It's really difficult to do that, Matt. When things are really, really hard, I find it really hard to do something like that. Well, perhaps this is the time where you've got to ask the Lord, Lord, put a song in my heart so that as I am before you, even though I'm surrounded by prison, even though my hands and my head and my feet are in the stocks, I want to be able to pray, I want to be able to lift my heart to you, and I want to be able to worship. And when that happens, there's an earthquake. Everything's loosed. They could have all run away and the jailer would have been killed for dereliction of duty. But no, they all stayed there and then the jailer gets saved. So all that stuff about not going here, not going there and just going to Philippi. You've got Lydia, you've got the demon-possessed girl and now you've got the jailer. Three completely different circumstances. So who knows what God is going to do with you? So we've got two things here, haven't we? We've got the whole thing of listening to God and doing what he says in the time that he says. And we've also got the thing about being released from prison. And, well, Lord, we need to be released. Put a song in my heart, Lord, that I can worship you and just enjoy you, Lord. And then the earthquake will come. Then everything will happen. Hallelujah. If I carry on speaking, I'll just go around in circles. Let's pray. Okay? Let's pray. Now, if what I've said this morning has touched your heart and you want to get free of something or you've got a problem that is battling, we've seen here, haven't we, that the answer is opening our hearts to the Lord. Okay? And if you, by the end of the meeting, if you still think, okay, well, I need to do some transaction with God on this, well, come and we'll pray together. Okay? But let's open our hearts and just worship. And in that respect, that song that we sung at the beginning is right. And in your presence, our problems disappear. I don't want to be flippant about it, but in the context of being in God's presence with open hearts, those things will melt away. So let's pray. Lord, none of us go through life with plain sailing. None of us have gone through up to now without some difficulties, whether they be small or whether they be big. But Lord, we thank you for the instruction of Scripture this morning that is taking us to see how we can get through the difficulties that we are facing. So Lord, we pray and we ask you, Lord, to come by your Spirit. Shine your light into our hearts. Speak to us, Lord. Help us to put our eyes on you. Put a song in our hearts, Lord, that we might see the things that want to assail us drop away. We know that the enemy is defeated. We know that from Scripture. We know that from things that we've heard in the past. And we know that he's got no real power. But Lord, we want to come and ask you that we might, in these days, in positioning ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that we might know the victory that you have won on the cross coming into real play in our lives. Please come and move in us and through us, Lord, in these days. Amen.